Welcome to the podcast. So I just decided that I would, in addition to my interviews with various people in the digital asset space, that I would also include my live dinnies. So these are just when I'm driving to and from the Bitcoin with Dini, Crypto with Dini office. I hit record and I'm talking about something that's general. So I hope you enjoy. Today it's about Michael Saylor. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever time you're catching this at. What is the crack? Welcome to the channel. It's a good day today. Unfortunately, our white knight, the man, the god, seems to have ran into a little bit of trouble. And I just want to chat about that for a short time. This morning, I'm on my way to the Crypto with Dini office. I've got a meeting this morning, and then I have a consulting session where I've got to do a done for you plan for a client, which basically just means I got to do everything. I got to do everything from setting up their wallets to building their plan to retire early to securing the wallets, back up the wallet, setting up the exchanges, everything in the done for you consulting session. It's like, it's the hands off approach if you want it all done for you. But that is my plan. It's a couple of hours work, but it'll be a bit of crack. What am I looking for here now? My keys, because my gate is closing. Remember your daily exercise when you're jumping on. Let me just open this gate. Give the like button a nice strong or negative. So looking forward to getting back in and hugging grannies and all that good stuff. Well, unfortunately, I don't have any of my grannies to hug. I miss them immensely. I used to live with one of my nanas. But so I say that in jest. And we're back. Sorry about that, guys. I was connected to the house Wi-Fi, and then, sure, I forgot. When I pull away from her, the feed goes bad. What was I saying there? Anyway, yes. We are back in the game, and looking forward to getting a bit of training in and getting the body back good and healthy again. So Michael Saylor is under a bit of heat. Bit of attack. And, of course, all we do is... if you're like me and every human on the planet, we absorb a clickbait newspaper headline. And although we may be on the planet, I'm on it 40 years, and we haven't learned that, unfortunately, the media have a history of being loose with the truth, let's just say. And they also love to get my attention, and they love to frighten me. That's why for 2 years they showed a death counter on the top right of your television screen. And every day they displayed the dead bodies, because they knew that would be an amazing way to get your attention and to suck you in and to totally manipulate how you think and how you act. I digress. Okay? So anyway, I'm being sarcastic, of course. Everything that I hear in the media is never truth, never gospel. and always involves deeper investigation. Okay? But like I said, I'm getting into a little bit of flack over tax. Now, last night in the Retire Early Club, we had Niall Hackett come on, who runs a crypto tax company, and Niall gave us a full hour of a presentation and tax tips and ways to harvest tax and ways to save tax, and gave us tons of value. Okay? But this is the thing about tax. Poor people pay the most tax. Okay? Rich people pay the least tax. Why? Because they understand the system the best, and they don't break the rules, but they bend the rules, okay? They push the rules right to the limit. Like any professional footballer. I was having a conversation with my wife, and we were chatting about footballers diving, you know, because we're into motorcycles. You know, and I like football as well, or soccer as well, but they're diametrically opposed when you see a soccer player falling on the ground, and you look at the replay, and he didn't even get touched, versus you see a motorbike racer get slung over the top of the handlebars at 130 mile an hour, okay? If he doesn't have any broken bones, he gets up as fast as he can and he gets back to the garage as quick as possible to go and get his second bike out, even though the first bike might be in two pieces. You know, and my wife could never understand that. Like, how can anyone watch this sport like soccer? It's such nonsense. Like, how can they take themselves serious lying on the ground? The answer to that question is, they're playing the rules. All they're doing is playing the rules. And because they're professionals and they're the best at their business, they will play the rules to the very limit of the rules, okay? So it's not a judgment on them as a character. It's that if they didn't do that, they wouldn't get the decisions. They wouldn't be as good a player. So they must play the rules, even if it involves rolling around on the floor like a little sissy when you didn't even get touched. Okay? But it's just the rules of the game. And when it comes to the tax, wealthy people have better tax advisors than poor people. Just like everything. Wealthy people have better everything. They're better everything. You just be, and that's what money allows you. It allows you more choices, more opportunities, more options. Okay? But so with tax, explain tax a little bit. People don't understand that tax is huge, and that's why I think becoming an entrepreneur, even if you're not, if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, being an entrepreneur is amazing because of the tax. Because the tax system is just much more favorable to someone who has their own business versus someone who works for a business. Okay, so favorable and such money savings that me personally, I don't know how you could do it without using them, or it's definitely going to be a hell of a lot more difficult. And that's why I try and teach people it's worth becoming an entrepreneur. You know, it doesn't matter. Everyone's got something to sell. Everyone's got some knowledge that people want to purchase, or can create something, or can make something, or can find something, or can source something, or can provide a service. Like, everyone can do it if they want it. Okay, but in the tax system, let's say if you're on the low tax bracket, you still pay tax for over half the year, which means you work for the government to pay their wages for like January, February, March, April, May, June. All right, before you work a penny for your family. And because it's sort of, no one really thinks about the system or understands it, they never realize that. And when you tell them that, they're like, Jesus, Dini, you serious? Hit the like button if you like the content. Throw in a comment if you enjoy it. Maybe put a share on if you'd like to share it with your community. But we all work for the first half of the year, not for ourselves, not for our family, not to save money for ourselves, but to put it into our system, our government. Okay? And wealthy people, better than anyone, understand this. And that's why they use ways and means. They use things like trusts, okay, to sort of harvest capital into and to get access to money without paying tax, okay? They use intelligent systems like borrowing against their assets because that's not a taxable event, versus most normal people don't know what that is or how to do that, okay? They use refinancing, again, because that's not a taxable event, okay, to harvest gains out of their assets. They use things like leveraging their assets or find means to compound their assets. And your normal average person doesn't understand what these things are, or doesn't have the sophistication from their tax advisor to be able to set up these systems, or not that they don't have sophistication from their tax advisor, but perhaps that the amount of money that we're talking about doesn't justify putting it in trust or setting up a trust or setting it up an offshore entity. You know, we've heard about that all the time. You know, politicians, big builders and everything, they're like, you know, they're getting chased by X, Y and Z because they've got these offshore entities. And a lot of the times, it's fully legal what they're doing. They're not breaking the rules, they're just playing the rules to the absolute edge of the rules. So all that waffle was just to sort of clarify that's exactly what Saylor's doing. Okay, he's playing the game to its rules, and that's how billionaires become billionaires, or multimillionaires become multimillionaires, by understanding the rules and playing them to the absolute edge. Okay, since he has now built his life upon Bitcoin, it's no surprise he's raised his head up now. It's no surprise that he's going to be targeted by his government, and they're going to want to make sure, okay, this lad is talking about an alternative financial system, and he's preaching about it, and he's educating about it, and he's explaining it in such clarity that even a man on the street is able to understand his explanations and go, you know what, that makes him a lot of sense. Maybe I need to own a little bit of this alternative financial system. So it's no surprise that he is subject now to a lot more heat on the street from those who pull the levers and make the decisions. So I would say everything that you hear about that situation, take it with a grain of salt. Maybe go on to Michael's Twitter himself to see what he himself has said about it and has explained his side of the story, as opposed to just being sucked in by a newspaper clickbait headline. Because that's what I'll get. I'll get people who are, you know, they've not done any work on Bitcoin, but they love the FUD. because they've got a fear that they're going to be left behind, and they really want it to fail. They don't want it to work out. Okay, they want it to fail, but they have a fear that, what if Dini's right? Alright, but whenever there's bad news about crypto, I'll get a message from them. Alright? You know, aha, what's going on here? You see, the whole thing is fact, Dini. Michael Saylor's a criminal. I was like, come on, you read like four words on a newspaper headline. Surely it warrants a little bit more due diligence than that before you make your decision. And that's with all newspaper or everything you hear. Like, for me, truth is grey. That's how I describe truth. Truth isn't black and it's not white. I'm 40 years on the planet and I realise that truth is grey. It's never black, it's never white. There's two sides to every single story. And unfortunately, we've outsourced our thinking in over the last maybe 20, 30 years, in that we're not willing to do anything. We're so busy, we don't even want to think for ourselves anymore. And it's a dying skill, and I think it's a skill that humans are going to have to rebuild, because this decade's going to be a difficult decade. And by outsourcing your thinking, you're walking yourself off a cliff. And that's why a lot of people are going to have to reboot the skill of critical thinking and learn how to actually think for themselves again. And ultimately, it's going to be a net positive for humanity, because look what no thinking has got us. It's got us into the woke generation. It's got us into everyone deserves a medal. And that just, that argues with reality. That's not how the universe works. That's not how the world works. And it's basically just fiat thinking. And that's just not understanding the laws of, as Michael Saylor would say, thermodynamics or energy, and not respecting them. And you can't, and that's what's called arguing with reality. You can't argue with reality, lads, okay? If you argue with reality, you will lose. Every time. Anyway, I hope you're having a super day today. Stay tuned. I'll probably be live over the weekend on the YouTube, on the Facebook. There's a good podcast out there on Spotify. It's getting a lot of traction. It's getting a lot of great reviews, and a lot of people are saying, Dini, that's amazing. And basically, I break down the fact that we've got, there's a lot of talk of cashless society coming, which is inevitable, predictable, and guaranteed, as I've been telling this for years. It's just an innovation on technology, and if we can dematerialize something and digitize something, and it's 10 times better, well, we will do it. It's inevitable, okay? It's also, in a lot of technologies, it's like, well, are those in power? Would they like it? Well, those in power would absolutely love digital money, because it's basically surveillance money. All privacy is taken away, all taxes collected ahead of time. It just makes their job so much easier. So unlike some technologies that they will release food into the media and push a bad narrative on, when it comes to a digital centralized money, all the governments are ferociously working to create their digital euro, digital dollar. Digital yuan is already in operation. So in the podcast, I break down the differences between a centralized digital money and a decentralized digital money, okay? And that one, you know, works on AI technology software to track and trace and basically record everything, and the other is more cryptographically created and ran, so that the true characteristics of money are maintained, and that money gets to be, you know, as money always was. Just a medium of exchange that nobody actually controls. Anyway, hope you have a super day. Thanks for hitting the like button. If you haven't, please click the screen and then click the like button. And if you're not subscribed or following the channel, follow the channel, become part of the community. And if you'd like to know how we teach you how to retire early by building plans using digital assets, check out www.cryptodini.com. Check out Retire Early Club and check out our consulting. Like I said, I'm just on my way up to the Crypto Dini office to build a plan for someone to retire early in a consulting done for you session. So guys, have a super Friday. Happy Friday. Thanks for being here. Stay happy. Dini out.